This is Anne Sorby, and I'm going to read a short excerpt from my novel, Memoir of a Good Death. This is how it begins. Have you ever wondered about the moment of your own death? I rarely did. But in the months that preceded mine, I felt as if I'd been severely wounded. My father died on January 27, 2001, and my own life came to an abrupt end exactly 6 months later. In retrospect, it was as if his passing foreshadowed my own. My father's name was Edward Flett, and mine was Reagan. After him, I was the last in a long line of landlocked islanders. My father's family came from Orkney, where my great-grandmother's great-grandmother had lived with a bear. The animal was a gift, given to her by the Norsemen who stayed in her croft for 10 years avoiding war. During that time, my ancestral grandmother gave birth to a daughter. Her contemporaries assumed the obvious, but somewhere in the gap that exists between legend and life is a family trait that hints otherwise. My father had vertical ridges on his tongue. His mother passed them on to him, and he gave them to me. My life hadn't always been about loss. It used to focus on gain. I was always interested in property. And from the moment of my conception, I wondered who owned the womb I grew in. I wondered at 5 years of age why Sarah and Ed called me their child. Wondered at 14 when I towered over my parents why they thought I was a commodity they would eventually trade. That's when I began calling them by their first names. My English mother thought it was charming, and my father, the rough Scottish Catholic, never got used to the idea, or so he said, but he usually feigned horror whenever I slipped and called him Dad. I spent my adult life exchanging houses for money and money for houses. I traded real estate, but I was never the sort whose photograph appeared in the weekend paper. I didn't want my appearance to hinder or help my sales. I was like my father. I liked to do things the hard way. I operated a private exchange for owners of waterfront properties on the Bow River. That was my focus, my niche. I was licensed to trade from Banff National Park to the place 100 miles west of Medicine Hat, where the Bow comes together with the Old Man River to shape the South Saskatchewan. Those lands were my territory. The properties I traded included houses, an apartment building, a nursing home, condominiums, private schools, restaurants, single-family dwellings, farms, ranches, cottages, and cabins. I concocted arrangements and ministered betrothals between Bow Terra Firma and people from around the globe, local millionaires, newlyweds, and couples of all kinds. Once I even followed through on the registration of land to a horse. Giddy up. I was a bit of an oddity, even for Calgary, where the sudden changes in atmospheric pressure are matched only by the ebb and flow of oil-inspired fortunes. Maybe I hadn't been unlike my ancient grandmother. People came to me for a specific remedy. They wanted land next to running water in the middle of Western Canada, and they thought I was the best person to get it for them. My parents and relatives thought me contrary, and perhaps in some ways I was. I had legally married and divorced 5 men before I died at the age of 37. Sarah and Ed were married for 43 years. I thought I was married a second time for 7 days. However, the charming justice of the peace who went to great lengths to marry me to Liam Richards at Assiniboine Lodge hadn't registered the marriage before Liam advised me he wanted to make a quit claim. I can't blame the event on a Chinook. Wrong season. The foe and wind didn't blow the day he told me to leave. but the weight of the thunderhead that had been building from the early morning finally burst into magnificent sheets of purple lightning when he unburdened himself. "Does that break any Calgary Stampede records?" I asked Sarah at the time. For 10 days in July, the city of Calgary and the city of Las Vegas are statistical rivals. Both register a similar number of marriages and corresponding divorces. According to Sarah, to make sure, absolutely sure, that he had no legal connection to me, Liam went to St. Bernard's Catholic Church in Bowness, the church in the neighborhood I lived in most of my life. He spoke to the nun in charge of annulments. She said he should go to a registry office because a priest hadn't married us. He wrote a check for $400 and asked if she could rush the process. "A rush?" the nun had apparently asked him. Then he added a $400 donation to the Sisters of the Perpetual Virgin Kick the Habit Fund. The nun searched the Alberta and British Columbia registries on the spot and found out that the marriage was not registered. A call to the JP was all it took. We had not been married. I was cut to the bone by coincidence. Felt as if my heart and gallbladder had been taken, and was too numb to be sad or angry.